Okay, you ready? You can hear me okay? Great, we're on. Perfect. Awesome. Let's go. I'm Peter Little, lead pastor at Christ Pacific Church in Huntington Beach, California. We're cultivating a community of faith, hope, and love that follows Jesus into the world. And you're listening to our Sunday Sermons podcast. To learn more about us or to subscribe to this podcast, visit us at cpchb.org. Thanks for listening.
Hi, welcome, everybody. It's good to see you this morning, and to imagine you who are streaming online. It's good to see you, too. Okay, so this illustration that I was supposed to have for you this morning that isn't working out, and so I'm going to ask you to imagine. So in the back, I have a jar that is filled with water, and inside the water is a bunch of dirt. And when you take the jar and you shake it up, the dirt turns all the water all murky. And then when you leave the jar here on the table, on the pulpit, after a number of minutes, the water begins to clarify, it begins to become clear as all of the dirt settles to the bottom. And then if I were to take that jar and shake it up again, then it would get all murky. But if it were to sit on the table and grow still, just stop for a minute, then the chaos that's going on inside of the jar settles down and things become clear. Are you imagining with me? You don't even need the jar. I didn't bring it up with me because the dirt I put in there, half of it floats. And it's not really, it's been sitting back there for like 40 minutes and it's still murky. So there you go. Hey, you might be familiar with this little motto or this little saying, especially if you are a craftsperson, if you've ever done any carpentry or anything like that. So the saying goes, measure twice, cut once. A slow, steady, measured approach results in less waste product. It's actually less work in the long term. And this is what excellent craftspeople, this is what excellent carpenters do. They measure twice and cut once, because if you measure once, you're going to end up cutting twice because sometimes you get the measurement wrong. So double check, take the time, measure it twice, and cut it once. Do you know how much pain I could have saved myself if I would actually have lived by this motto? I did worked in construction for a number of years. I was a laborer, which basically meant I was the guy that dug the ditches and got the tools. And on these job sites, the tool shed, which is usually like a container off of a freight container, would be over on the side of the job site so that it wasn't in the way of the thing that we're actually trying to build. And so my job so often was to just be supplying the carpenters and getting the tools out of and the supplies out of the tool shed. And I was really eager and I was very excited and I wanted to work really hard. I was not afraid of hard work. And so whenever anything was needed, I would run over to the tool shed and I would grab what we needed and then I would run back. And then inevitably there would be something that I forgot. Or there would be something that if I would have just taken the time to think, this is the challenge for me, time to think for a minute at the tool shed, what else are we going to need? Then what I could have done is I could have walked over to the tool shed, gotten a wheelbarrow or something like that, loaded it all up with all of the tools and nails and screws and supplies that we need, and then walked it back to where it was actually needed. And I would have been much less frantic, I would have been much less busy, and actually, I would have been much more effective. The guys who needed the stuff that I was running after would have gotten it sooner. All of this is related to where we're going to go today, and it all can be wrapped up in the image before you. Measure, oh, let's see, I got this. This is what you're not supposed to do. If you measure twice and cut once, you're actually going to end up saving time. You guys know what this is? Oh, they are just so cute, these sloths. And they move so slowly, painfully slow, so much so that we have actually used their namesake in order to describe laziness. Right? We call it slothfulness. Centuries ago, the church identified what was traditionally called, you know, the seven deadly sins. These are sins which, if we continue to pursue them, they will become deadly for our souls. And one of those seven deadly sins in this tradition is called sloth. Slothfulness. It's basically, it's the sin of laziness. Isn't it interesting that we have identified slow movement with the sin of laziness? That moving slowly has so often become equated with laziness. Which is why I think we have identified hustle as a virtue. Right? Hustle. Hurry. Get out and hustle and make a little money. It's considered so often by our modern peers and by us often as a virtue. Fruit ripened by the spirit of the age includes hustle and hurry, right? But fruit that is ripened by the Holy Spirit doesn't really look like that. It looks more like love and patience, to name a couple of them. John Mark Comer wrote this little book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And in that book, he says this, hurry and love are incompatible. The fruit of the Spirit of the age and the fruit of the Holy Spirit are not compatible. The Spirit of the age will cultivate in us hurry and hustle. But by contrast, the fruit that the Holy Spirit ripens in our souls or cultivates in our hearts include things like love and patience. So take a deep breath, measure twice, and cut once. Walk over to the tool shed, gather everything that you're going to need, and then bring it back to the job site. Let's pray as we dive into this concept. Gracious and living God, we don't want to miss you today. We don't want to miss what you're doing, what you're saying. So would you slow down our minds, our hearts, that we might make space to hear what you're saying? Like the jar that is all mixed up and muddy, would you still our minds and our hearts that all of that sediment might sink to the bottom and the water might become clear and we might be able to see and hear what you're doing today in us, through us, and because you love us. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to try to actually speak more slowly this morning because the theme that I'm talking about that we are addressing this morning is the spiritual discipline of slowing. We've been talking about spiritual disciplines as ways that we cultivate an ecosystem of grace in our lives. And these ecosystems of grace are cultivated when we adopt what is called a rule of life. We've been using this language, a rule of life. And a rule of life is not a bunch of rules that we're supposed to follow, but rather a rule of life is a trellis that supports our growth. That's why this trellis has been up here for the last several weeks as a visual reminder that we are being invited to build a trellis, some support structure in our lives so that the vine would flourish and become fruitful. The point is not the trellis. This is not about how amazing a trellis we can build. That is not the point. The point is fruitfulness, flourishing, faithfulness. The point is that we might, as branches, abide in the vine And so this morning, one of the parts of this trellis that we are going to be talking about is the discipline of slowing down. The spiritual discipline of intentionally slowing our paces. In order to walk through this, did I not get it? Perfect. I don't have the slide that I was looking for, which is perfect because I was going to change it. Okay, the first question that I want to address this morning is what do we talk about when we're talking about slowing? I mean, what is this? Does this just mean walk slower? Well, maybe. John Ortberg offers a helpful definition, I think, for slowing, and this will help us get on the same page in terms of what we are actually talking about. So Ortberg writes this, "The slowing is cultivating patience by deliberately choosing to place ourselves in positions where we simply have to wait." This is so countercultural. Intentionally placing ourselves in situations where we just have to wait. Slowing is choosing to slow our outward pace in order to slow the pace of what's going on inside. Slowing creates space for us so that we might be present to God, so that we might be present to one another, and so that we might be present to what God is doing inside of us as well. Moses was living slowly enough that when something unusual was happening, he noticed. Moses noticed that there was a bush on fire and it was not being consumed. How did he know that it was not being consumed? He must have taken enough time to stop and watch it for a minute. He noticed the burning bush. When you're in a hurry, when you're hustling, you don't notice the burning bushes. You don't have time to pay attention, to be attentive to what is going on around you. Stopping to look at the burning bush was not in Moses' itinerary at all. What if Moses had been in a hurry? What if he was hustling to the next thing that he thought was so important? Jesus often turned aside to tend to interruptions, you know, interruptions in his schedule. At one point, Jesus is heading north from Jerusalem up to Galilee when he stops at a well to sit and rest. He stopped. He rested. That's the first thing we should notice. That's the stuff of slowing. If Jesus were in a hurry, would he have stopped at all? And while he was resting at a well, a lady comes up, and she has come to the well to draw water. Rather than telling her that he's really in a hurry, he's got a lot of stuff to do today because he's a really important man, he took the time to have a life-changing conversation with this woman. Why did he do that? How was he able to do that? His soul was moving at a slow enough pace that he had time, or rather, he made time to notice her and to nourish her soul. What if Jesus had been hustling? There's another time when Jesus is summoned to the home of Jairus. Jairus's 12-year-old daughter is very, very sick. In fact, it looks like she's dying. There were tons of people around that made it challenging for Jesus to make his way to Jairus' home. He'd been summoned to Jairus' home. Jesus said, "Yes, I will come. Remember, this 12-year-old girl is dying." On the way, Jesus ends up turning aside and healing a woman who suffered from terrible hemorrhaging for a number of years. Jesus made time because hurry and hustle did not characterize his life, didn't characterize his heart. He was on the way to a very important engagement. This little girl was dying. And as he was on the way, he stopped and he took time to pay attention to this other woman who needed his help. What is slowing not? What is slowing not about? I think slowing gets a bad rap because we sometimes have some wrong-headed assumptions about slowing down. We have some wrong-headed assumptions about hurry and what hurry does or can do. When I was in high school, I went to a private Jesuit school that was on the other side of town. Actually, we lived outside of town. The school was in town. It was called Gonzaga. And Gonzaga was 12 miles from my home. It took 25 minutes to drive from my home to high school 12 miles away. Can you imagine being able to drive 12 miles in 25 minutes here? That would be a totally different experience. But in Spokane, Washington, you could drive 12 miles in 25 minutes. And I learned very early on through experience, because what my parents told me I didn't believe. So after they told me this, I had to learn it by experience, that I could speed all the way to school. I could rush. I could pray and wish and hope that all the lights would turn green, which of course they never did. And I could hurry and hustle my way all the way to school, and I could gain myself somewhere between 90 and 120 seconds. Or I could just drive the speed limit. Do you want to get to school in 25 minutes, or do you want to get to school in 23 and a half minutes? Again, measure twice, cut once. Okay? It turns out that measuring twice often takes longer than measuring once, right? You have to measure two times. It will take you more time to cut that board if you measure twice than if you only measure once. But when you get to about the 10th board that you're supposed to cut, and you measure once, and then you screw up cutting the board, you cut it too short, you never cut it too long, right? It's always too short. And then you're out of lumber, you have to go back to Home Depot, you have to buy more stuff, you have to re-measure, this has never happened to me, by the way, but I understand that this could happen. At the end of the day, you know what? It actually takes less time to measure twice and cut once. It's actually more efficient to measure twice and cut once, because slow is fast. Some of the wiser people that I worked with would sometimes say that. Slow is fast. And isn't that also what the turtle said to the hare? Now, the point of the spiritual discipline of slowing is not so that we can actually be more efficient or so that we can get things done more quickly. In fact, quite the opposite. I'm simply bringing this up because I think that very often we have false assumptions about slowing down. We think that being in a hurry is going to help us, that being in a hurry is actually going to get things done more quickly or more efficiently or better. And the reality is, so often, this just is not the case. C.S. Lewis had a spiritual director who at one point said to him, "Hurry never aids our work. It always impedes our work." Oftentimes, we're in a hurry because we want to work better. But hurry doesn't actually help us do our work. Dwight Eisenhower is the one who said, you know, what is important is seldom urgent, and what is urgent is seldom important. And when we get caught up in what is urgent, we often feel rushed, hustled, hurried, right? And if Eisenhower was right, which I think he was, we end up hustling after the urgent things. And when we're hustling after the urgent things, we just don't have time and space to pay attention to what is actually important. And what is important? Isn't what is most important that we are connected to and that we hear the voice of the living God? Isn't what's most important that we hear Jesus speak to us? That we sense the Spirit moving and leading in our lives, that we are able to have space to be present to the living God and present to other people to whom God has called us to give ourselves and to love? Isn't the point that we have enough time and space and that enough of the sediment has drifted to the bottom so that we can actually see more clearly what it is that God is doing and what it is that He's calling us to? Slow is not lazy. Slow is intentional. Slow is methodical. Slow is patient. Slow is making time and space to be a present, to be present, which is a present to others, to be present and to be attentive. Slow is not rushing around in our own strength when the Lord is right here, as we'll sing a little bit later in the service. Slow is making time to turn aside to look at the burning bush and to discover that in the slowing, the living God will speak to you. This is practicing the spiritual discipline of slowing. And what does it do to us? What does slowing do to us? How does it affect us? Well, first of all, slowing makes time for relationships. Have you ever tried to rush a relationship? How did that go for you? When the pandemic first hit in March 2020, we were forced to slow down, many of us. I know that some of us were actually forced to speed up, but for many of us, a whole lot of life came to a screaming halt, a screeching halt. And you know what I heard a lot of? A lot of the stories that I heard, especially in the beginning, were stories of families eating together, something that they had not done in a long time. I heard a lot of stories of moms and dads playing with their kids more. Why? Well, they're stuck at home. Now, I don't celebrate the pandemic at all. My heart goes out to those who have lost loved ones, to those whose businesses have been terribly affected. So I do not celebrate the pandemic. But isn't it interesting to note that? I wonder if one of the redeeming things about this pandemic is the kind of forced slowing, especially at the beginning. We wouldn't slow down on our own. We just wouldn't do it. We were too much in a hurry. And so forced slowing showed us some of the life-giving benefits of slowing down. Because slowing down gives us space to be attentive to God, to be attentive to others, and to be attentive to ourselves, to what God is doing in our own hearts and in our own minds. Moses slowed down enough to be attentive to the Lord's voice at the burning bush. Jesus slowed down to be attentive to the woman who suffered from bleeding. Many of you, I know, are going through the emotionally healthy spirituality materials. Dean is teaching a class on Tuesday nights. A number of your small groups are going through this. The primary focus of all of those materials could really be boiled down to this: slow down so that you can be attentive to the Lord's voice, so that you can be attentive to the Lord and attentive to your neighbors, and yes, attentive to your own soul, to your own heart. So how can slowing down for you offer you a little bit more time, a little bit more space, a little bit more energy to be attentive to your relationships? We all know that relationships can't be rushed. I know that when I am in a hurry, I'm sending a message to everyone around me: I don't have time for you. That's not the message that I want to send. That's not what I want to feel and experience. That's not what I actually believe. But when I am hurrying and hustling around, I am sending this message to the people who are in my purview: I don't have time for you. I'm in a hurry because I'm very busy. I'm a very important person, don't you know? Slowing down makes time for relationships. Slowing down also reduces our entitlement. Slowing down is it's a form of fasting. It's a form of denying yourself what you want. And here's why this is important. When someone else denies you of something you want, which happens all the time, right? When someone else denies you of something you want, you won't explode at them. Why? Because you've been practicing denying yourself of something that you want. You have learned how to do this. You have learned how to not just get anything you want whenever you want. So slowing down actually helps us grow in emotional and spiritual maturity. A toddler has lived his whole life, appropriately so, essentially getting whatever he wants whenever he wants it, right? When he was a baby, he would cry because he was hungry, and he would get fed every time, as is appropriate. And when parents begin to teach this toddler the concept of no, what happens? Right? I hear stories about this, that sometimes toddlers don't appreciate that lesson. They throw temper tantrums, right? And as adults, we continue to struggle with this, but we're just better at hiding it. It's called entitlement. If you're always used to getting what you want when you want it, you get really super upset when it doesn't come, when it doesn't happen. But if we intentionally slow down, we deny entitlement a place in our hearts. This is one of the benefits of slowing down. This is when I shake the glass jar again. This is when I show that all of that dirt gets all shaken up and the water gets all murky. When we don't stop, when we don't slow down, things get muddy. I'm sorry, this is so small. Ruth Haley Barton writes in one of her wonderful books, she says this, just as the physical law of gravity ensures that sediment swirling in a jar of muddy water will eventually settle, so also the spiritual law of gravity ensures that the chaos of the human soul will settle if it sits still long enough. Slowing down reduces the internal chaos. Moses turned aside at the bush, and that was the moment that he heard God's call on his life. That was the moment. A call in which God would use Moses to lead his people out of slavery from Egypt. What if Moses hadn't turned aside? What if he was in too much of a hurry to stop? No doubt the Lord's missional purposes would have moved forward with or without Moses. The mission of God did not depend on Moses. The mission of God, thanks be to God, does not depend on us. But imagine all that Moses would have missed out on had he not slowed down. And what might we be missing out on? What missional adventures might we be missing out on because we just don't have time? We're moving too quickly. We're not taking time to stop and listen and slow. At the time when Moses is, when Moses notices the burning bush, at that time Moses was living as a fugitive in a foreign land. He was basically on the run. Imagine the rest of Moses's life if he hadn't slowed down and listened to the Lord at the burning bush. For the rest of his days, he would have been running for his life. He would have been scared. He would have been looking over his shoulder. He would have been questioning himself. But because he slowed down enough to hear God's voice, God redirected his whole life and invited him into God's missional purpose. So slowing is making space to turn aside and to look at the burning bush and to discover that in the slowing, the living God will speak to you. You don't have to be in such a hurry. You don't have to hustle into the future. You don't have to be rushing so much that you aren't able to be present to the Lord and present to others and present to yourself in the present moment. So my invitation to you is to hear the Lord's invitation to slow down, to ruthlessly eliminate hurry, to rest in the nearness of Christ in the moment, so that we begin to notice that He's speaking to us in the burning bushes of our lives. We're going to turn to the communion table in just a minute. And as we do, we're slowing down. We're pausing to savor the presence of Jesus Christ. And just like when you eat a delicious meal, the way that you savor that meal is to go slow, to chew it all completely, to not rush through it. And that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to savor the presence of Jesus Christ as he feeds us and nourishes us here at the table. Let me pray, and then I will move to the table. Lord, we don't want to rush on ahead in our own strength. When you're right here, we don't want to be in a hurry when it comes to your spirit, when it comes to your presence, when it comes to your voice. So teach us to listen, just to rest in your nearness, so that we start to notice that you're speaking in the burning bush right now. You're speaking at the table right now. For we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for joining our Christ Pacific Sunday Sermon Podcast. To hear more of our sermons, or to subscribe, or to learn how you can be engaged with what we're up to in Huntington Beach, please visit us at cpchb.org.